little reply around to the check-in today, your thoughts, your reflections, so many great pieces that you shared. Okay, so a question came up, or a comment came up about energy. So when we have low energy, that's, you recognize that, right? It's one of the hindrances, right? Low energy, high energy. And of course, the high energy tends to take place with restlessness and worry. And boy, has it been a month of restlessness and worry for all of us. So when there's, say, low energy, as was the one that was raised, one could do short practices, but one could also manage the energy by varying the practice. So perhaps sitting for a while, then standing for a while, perhaps lying down for a while, as long as you're staying awake, right? Perhaps walking for a while. So you could keep moving from one short practice to another, but let them be continuous. So that way you would still get a nice long practice period. And with the high energy, the restlessness and worry, so important with that, that we... that we give ourselves, I find very helpful to give myself in those situations a wide berth, or if you think of our bodies like racehorses, like nervous racehorses in those moments. So we don't put the racehorse in a small corral or stable. We let it out. Yes, some confines, but lots of space. So having a spacious awareness can be very helpful. Breath and body as a whole, sounds. Yeah. Alternatively, though, I have also found, especially when it's been worry, more worry as opposed to the restlessness part, although they do go together, sometimes I've also found a narrow focus very well. It works very well. So you have to experiment with yourself. And by a narrow focus, I mean something like breath in one spot. At the nostrils would be perhaps the most narrow. But the breath in one location and that real determination to keep coming back, coming back, coming back, and not letting the worries or the ruminations, if you like, take over. And to also remember when these energy hindrances show that they proliferate into the other hindrances. We start clinging to something pleasant to fix it. We start having aversion for all kinds of things. Yeah. And our best buddy, doubt, enters into the picture and says, you don't know what you're doing. These practices don't help. It's of no benefit. And we stop practicing altogether. So we always have to be on the lookout for hindrances, especially during troubled times. And so I'm thinking back to when we all studied this in this group, but also in Mindful Living Grad, those kind of simple questions, is there a struggle? Is there a struggle can point us to clinging and aversion? How's the energy to the energy factors, the sloth and torpor, the restlessness, worry? And how's the faith? How's the trust? So that we can notice if sneaky doubt is lurking in the shadows and name it. Okay, hindrances. I think some of our aversion that can be happening these days, aversion to the news and the current events that have been so deeply, deeply troubling. And could it have gotten worse? Like pandemic? Okay, then we have the whole trucker thing and the supply chain being affected and so many people's livelihoods being affected and neighborhoods affected, and then we have a war So it's like, could it get worse? And it's, you know, it's natural if we go into aversion. It's natural if we become numb. And so then it's about skillfully managing that. And I think what I was just pointing to with the hindrances can be helpful there. And to respect that numbness that may show, to really bring kindness and care to it, to know, okay, this being is deeply troubled right now. As opposed to just letting numbness rule the day, to see numbness as a signal, oh, here's suffering, here's stress, here's dukkha. How may I care for this dukkha? And many of you mentioned about compassion and loving kindness and how helpful they are to these troubled times. So not to forget them. When we open to dukkha, and we'll get into this as we go along, we can start to see the relationship between dukkha and the not-self characteristic. That when we are clinging to something, and I'm using clinging in the generic way, so it might be aversion. Anyway, when we're clinging to something, to be on the lookout for the self that we've created in that moment. I heard mention of past self. Ah, there's past self. That's actually a label I've been using lately. Oh, there's past self. There's past Ginny. And then, you know, the worry. Oh, there's future Ginny. And of course, neither of them actually exist. They are fabrications. And I find just that kind of labeling of this creating of a self in those moments of clinging, as was mentioned, can be such a way to feel the suffering, the stress drop away, and we can really feel the body loosen tension. And so too, the classic phrases that we will ultimately be very diligently practicing with in those moments of clinging, to say, oh, this is not me, or this is not I, or this is not mine, this is not myself. And at this point, those phrases may seem very cryptic to you, and my suggestion is that you just practice with them and see what happens. See what happens. Sometimes it's a clinging to a sense of what belongs to me or what I own, like the body, sometimes, or my opinions. Sometimes it's more a sense of who I am. I am this kind of person. So you hear I'm kind of doing a little mimic of some self-righteousness, but other times it's, oh, I'm this kind of person, right? That self-loathing that can also come in, and none of it's true. And so when we say, this is not me, this is not mine, this is not myself, it can really help to shake up that identification and shake up the suffering. Okay, and what else did I want to say? So yes, at times we have to keep looking at the bandaged place, right? Remember that from Rumi that Leonard Cohen picked up on? Because that's where the light gets in. And sometimes that is the skillful way to practice, the grain practice, the really opening to the dukkha. We keep looking at the bandage place. We trust our capacity to work with it. But we don't want to beat ourselves silly, right? We don't want to get overwhelmed. And so if that overwhelm does start to happen, then absolutely we shift into metta, M-E-T-T-A. We shift into soften, soothe, allow, self-compassion break, loving kindness phrases, yes? And we just let that, we just really stay focused. So, for example, if you've got a lot of dukkha, just doing loving kindness phrases, not even necessarily touching the dukkha, but just, may I be safe, may I be healthy, may I be happy, may I live with ease over and over and over again. Perhaps opening it to others that you care for can be so grounding, especially grounding too when we really make a point of feeling the phrases through the body as we recite them. So that's super helpful. So we might have to make that shift. Okay, and last couple of pieces that are kind of hanging on here that I'll just add in. Vedana, feeling tone. It's okay if feeling tone confuses you. If you go, I don't know, is it pleasant? Is it unpleasant? Is it neutral? I don't know. What is it? Okay, well, the body feels pretty okay, neutral, but the mind is very unpleasant. Well, both are happening. So that's good noticing. And it's okay to notice that often once we bring attention to, say, for example, a classic one is the neutral, as we bring attention to it, that it starts to shift and it starts to become kind of pleasant by virtue of the awareness. So nothing's static, right? We know this. Everything's changing, flowing, and constant, impermanent. So too with Vedana, feeling tone. The thing about Vedana, feeling tone, is that especially when we have strong pleasant, we may be at risk of some serious clinging, and just think in the extreme with addiction, that we want more chocolate cake, another glass of wine, blah, blah, right? And on the other hand, when there's unpleasant feeling tone, you know, when it's quite strong, we may be at risk for even, you know, for really dropping into aversion. And it's not just for this particular experience, but then all experiences. I see a lot of head nods. A lot of experiences then get colored in murky waters, and we can get really lost. Yeah. So that's really key. And the neutral is definitely the trickiest one for most of us, but that's when we can just kind of phase off into la-la. So there's lots of practices on my website you can go to that can help you with working with Vedana or feeling tone. And last but not least, I'm just going to finish off with the beautiful expression, applied gratitude. So to get diligent with taking our gratitude for this wonderful country we live in, for this relatively safe city we live in, for the changing of the seasons, for those we care for our relative comforts, and really focusing on them, doing something deliberate, as was mentioned, like going out for a walk and taking things in. Yeah, taking in the beauty that's there. So applied gratitude, great way to get us through troubled times. And that's all I'm going to say for now. And I recorded this for you, and I hope that that's of interest to you.